Priya, or and also maybe a possible Krishna, we can put it on, it's like a Brahmacon thing, I don't know, that, yes, we've got the Indian, yeah, I put it on Krishna, more a discussion on a meeting or something. The Indian community is coming more and more, taking active part in the ISKCON temples in Sweden and elsewhere, which is nice. It changes the demographics a bit, and the temples there, the local communities, and ISKCON. Groups need to adapt to that. So here are some reflections on that and proposals, or rather just observations, but also how to best, you know, the thing is, when things change, if the organization does not adapt to it and change accordingly, then there will be often be problems, disagreements and so on, which is of course natural. So it's important to follow and adapt and change accordingly. To me it seems this, that there, first of all, this Krishna consciousness is universal, right? It's not a Hindu thing, it's not something that Indians are better at than others. It's about each and every one of us being an eternal spirit soul, servant, part of Krishna, of God, or whatever you want to call God. And that's also, of course, what Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and the Acharyas in this disciplic succession emphasized. As he said, I didn't come to spread Hinduism or convert people to Hinduism, but to help people to become happy and revive their relationship with God. Remember it again. So, but then, of course, this specific, you could say, tradition of how that is taught and understood and lived, that we follow here, for instance, the Gaudiya mission, Gaudiya tradition, comes from India, of course, and is very much, you could say, dressed in Indian cultural forms. Integrated with the very culture that it exists in India, in the country. So the funny thing then is that, so I've seen through history, that the Indians tend to think, and I guess rightly so, that these Westerners, they are just lower race, barbarians, and we are the only ones, you know, who are cultured, or the most cultured, but then in the West, I've seen it when people, young people especially, become Krishna devotees and find this beautiful knowledge and tradition and lifestyle. We, or I mean Western devotees, often thought, I don't know if that still is going on, but you find it of course among white people, that these Indians, they don't understand anything, they're just Hindus, Bindus, Mindu. And we have the higher understanding because we got it from Prabhupada and so on. So who is right here? Well, why should we care? Well, I've seen tendencies, and I'm not sure if I saw it rightly, that there may be possible, if not outright already, conflicts between the Indian devotees, Indian ISKCON, and the Western ISKCON. And therefore I think it's important to avoid that. The way to avoid that conflicts, often between different cultures and peoples of different colors and traditions and so on, is to understand each other, right? If you understand each other, you can respect each other and tolerate each other. But also the fact of unity and diversity. And the yukta vairagya, you adapt to this specific situation, in this case, cultural tradition, whatever. So, what I want to get to is, that here in our temples, it's good to have both the, you know, alive, active and happy Indian community, but also an active and alive Swedish Bhakta Vaishnava community, and that the two learn to understand each other. And Prabhupada, of course, had this idea about the blind man and the lame man, that where Westerners are the blind men and the Indians are the lame, but who can see, which makes sense to, for certain purposes. But I would say that there are other, you could say, advantageous differences. One, and I, maybe that even was kind of confirmed and encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. But we developed that view, Western, you know, the devotees who grew up here and found Krishna here, and just got it all through Prabhupada, nothing coming from Mama and, you know, the tradition of my country. Here we had Christianity instead. But when you do it that way, then you're not biased. You, the only thing you know is what you learn from these acharya, or these acharyas of Bhaktivedanta Swami and so on. Which means that chances are greater that we got it for real. And I've seen that sometimes Indians, they mix in features to it that the Bhagavata Acharyas who founded ISKCON did not encourage or agree with. Well, we were talking, you know, impersonalism and Sahajyanism and so on. So there is something unique and I would say valuable with this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because I would say that when it works, and I've seen that working, then what you find is this Vaishnava Siddhanta, this bhakti tradition, this bhakti yoga, kind of crystallized. It's like you're cooking herbs, you're getting the essence out of them. That's the only way to to make this work in places like Sweden, for instance. You can't just import the entire Indian culture and expect that the Swedes will take that up, start dressing dhotis and saris and so on. Or that people will become Hindus. And we will have temples here with Durga and Kali and Shiva and Vishnu and Ganesha, all that. It's just not going to happen. Of course, some they like India, Indian culture, Indian dress and Indian temples and so on. That's another thing. I'm talking about the big mission here to establish a God-conscious culture which is above this petty-minded religious institutions that also have just turned into power and profit centers, which is what happens. One has to be aware of that. This is the energy working in this time and age, so don't be surprised if it happens to you, but we need to be prepared for it and get around that, focused on our objectives and mission statement. So, okay, I'm talking a lot here, but what I mean is, well, some Swedish devotees, who, especially those who grew up with that kind of, how to say, not suspiciousness, but skepticism towards the Indian community, who they perceive or understand or presume are often there in that hodgepodge with many gods and everything is one and all of that, which Prabhupada warned against. So some devotees are like fighting against that. But then sometimes, which I really find regrettable, at the same time they can go out and collect money, donations from Indians. Now in Gothenburg, we, thanks to Pranava Prabhu, took that to the level or closer to it where we think it should be. The temple facilities, temple room and so on, prasadam room and all that, were shared between the Indian community, who had their specific festivals and events, certain dates and times of the week, and the Swedish had theirs, especially, I mean, those who lived in the temple and so on, of course, had, well, is had it all the other rest of the time. So time sharing, you could say, a bit of it. But then under the, how to say, the umbrella or the governing hand of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the founder of ISKCON, which this temple is owned by. So something like that, that worked, and something like that is what I can see here in Stockholm now. And okay, now I'm suggesting this Patreon ship. There is, and it's a good practical example, because we have this building. It has been purchased, built, renovated, and so on by devotees, ISKCON devotees, Prabhupada servants, all done by devotional service, bhakti yoga, not done for salaries or anything. All work done to bring this house to where it is today has been done that way. So since this house has practically been built by devotional service, by bhakti yoga, service to God, to Krishna, this house belongs to Krishna, to God. And whoever are taking care of it are simply the servants of God. The administration doing their service for the temple, for the congregation, and for the devotees living here, having their homes here. So, if we would count all the millions worth of work and whatever went into bringing this building to where, this Brahmakund to where it is now, I think it's significant. So this is what you have, what we have today now. We are getting older, and this is as far as we came. There are discrepancies. We want to get rid of the bank loan. We want to, you know, there's a renovation needs. We want to bring it up to the beautiful level where it should be and has been. Because, yes, when it was newly renovated, it was quite beautiful. And that's at least the standard where it should go back. So we need some resources for that. And as we always say, Krishna will provide, maybe through Krishna, his devotees. So then, if we talk time sharing here, that yes, dear Indian community, you are welcome. You come here, use this garden and the temple there. So, and so much of the time, and fine. And then it also makes sense. Well, strictly financially, with a patronship, with this congregation, which, because that's what you are, what we are here, Indian congregation, the Swedish, which are of course one big congregation, where you're going to see it that way. But, you know, a little different, maybe, styles and moods, and the rooms are limited, so something just arranged so it works out. So just like you may get into some time sharing, vacation home or something. Could be done here. Now, ownership, it's all owned by Krishna. And we are talking about, have been talking about for a long time, putting all these properties, buildings into a foundation which then represents Krishna, you could say. It owns itself and it owns these buildings, and it's the servants of that board are simply obliged to, by the constitution of that foundation, to manage this property on behalf of Krishna. So, but that's another thing. But something along that line. This building today, if it is in good shape, fully renovated and up to where it should be, it's estimated to be worth 30 or 40 million Swedish crowns. Now, to get it there and to actually buy it out from the bank and give it to Krishna, we need 5 million. As you who are money-minded can quickly understand then is, that to invest 5 million into a building that will then be worth 30 or 40 millions is financially makes financially sense, right? So it's a good investment, but what do you get on return on investment? You get your name on a big, nice, engraved in a big, nice brass plaque here in the stairway. And the honor and respect for as long as this house stands as one of the patrons who rendered significant service to Brahmakunda and Krishna, just like these brahmacharis who worked without any demand for profit, who did this as devotional service. And that is what this bhakti yoga devotional service and this ISKCON is about. So I hope that kind of can be worked into a concept that to me it seems to work out.